It's Tuesday the 28th of August, and you're listening to the Red Army Roundup. I'm your host, Paul Hinton, and as ever, I'm joined by Sean Phillips, but massive apologies. We still have no Aaron and no party. This isn't a permanent feature, it's just the way schedule's fallen. On that note of disappointment, though, hi, Sean, how are you?
Hello, Paul, I'm fantastic. How are you?
Brilliant. I'm really glad that the pre-season is out of the way. It's our last podcast where we haven't got to talk about any competitive hockey, so it gets better from here on in. That's my outlook on it. But at least we can talk about what will hopefully be competitive games at the end of this week's show. So we're going to wrap up the last couple of weekends of pre-season against HK Poprad and Coventry Blaze. Have a little look at news around the league, focusing mainly on one significant departure. Little discussion about any standout players during pre-season before previewing the four CHL games coming up against Red Bull Salzburg and HK Bern. So, well, Sean's excited for it. That's a bit of a spoiler there early on. But getting started, going back just over a week now, Slovakian team. I've said Slovakian. Was that right?
I think so, yeah.
The one thing you can't say about this podcast is that we do research. So HK Poprad came possibly from Slovakia. Wherever it was the same place as Banska Bystrica. So that's a bit of research.
Slovakia.
Excellent. Look at that. It's like we know what we're doing. I've got to say, this Saturday in particular, Sean, three really enjoyable periods of hockey, topped off with a win, first win of the pre-season, and you know, against a team of really good standing in European hockey.
Yeah, best pre-season game I've seen. It was fast, physical. Poprad weren't afraid to throw their weight around, which was good. They took it quite seriously, I think, and particularly towards the end of the game when they realised that we probably weren't the pushovers that they expected us to be, and it was a really, really good workout for us, I think. And it was, as you said, it was three good periods of very, very good hockey. And yeah, the perfect way for us to prepare for what's to come. Just really, really enjoyable overall.
Yeah, got to agree. And when you said most enjoyable preseason game, got to agree with you massively. I'm quite not a critic of it, but I don't hide the fact I'm not a massive fan of preseason games. But I was massively into that. Poprad pulling their goalie at the end, like you said, really pushing. I think like the last probably 5 minutes at least, we were really under the cosh, and I think we let one in because we were 3-1 up. But Devils stood strong, got the win, which is obviously good for morale. Poprad even took a hell of a lot of penalties in the first half of the game, which helped. I think all three of the goals were power play. From Mike Heading, Joey Martin, and Lane Omer. But you're just one of those nights where everyone played well, and everything came together to give a really good game. Can't say the same for Sunday overall. First two periods were not good. I think Devil still, should have mentioned earlier, still icing short, still missing an import D-man who at time wasn't announced.
Was announced before the game. Was announced
on Saturday,
before the game.
Sunday, wasn't it?
Sunday.
As we've just come to Sunday, so the big announcement of Tom Parisi dropping the puck. It was an impact. He set foot on the ice. He touched a puck, but that was more about him later. But also missing Matthew Myers, Justin Freina, and Charles Langley still. And I sort of got the impression, Sean, potentially wrongly, but thought missing a forward line, players probably playing more minutes than they'd have expected. And obviously, massively holding on Saturday and, a really good performance. Maybe told, and yet the first two periods, Devils weren't at the races, and early in the third, we're trailing 5-1. So it was an enjoyable game at all, really, then, up till then, did you think?
Yeah, no, I totally agree. And that's where I think it did take its toll a little bit. That's when things aren't going right. You look to your depth guys to maybe you know, push your guys playing the top minutes. And we like you said, we just weren't at the races. We didn't seem to have any idea of how to get back in the game. We looked gassed. That's the way I described it at the end of the second, was that we looked a very, very tired team after a tough test the night before. Playing with the same roster, I think. I don't think we changed or I don't think we added anyone to the lineup. No, it was exactly the same. So, we were a tired team after night one. And yeah, I think Popper had, I believe had a full team as well. They had a full four line team as well. So, we just looked lost, gassed, and didn't have an answer for them.
We didn't. Until we went 5-1 down, and something seemed to switch. And you know, last year, you know, Devils. Well, the last couple of years, there's been some you know, unexpected and you know, almost unbelievable comebacks. You look at the Sheffield second leg, Belfast, and many others. And you know, that fighting spirit sort of shone through again on Sunday, and you know, really pushed. Got three goals back to make it 5-4, and you had a hell of a go at the end, you know, empty net for a couple of minutes. And I think we had a shot, the whistle just past the post or maybe even clipped the outside of the post. But, you know, I think in terms of a game where, as you said, we looked gassed, we were second best for well over 40 minutes. In terms of momentum and a morale boost for the team, it was the perfect way to go. If we were going to have a good spell in the game, we did it at the right time and you made the scoreline respectable, Sean.
Yeah, definitely. And like you said, it's good for morale. You know, in a way, it's good to lose a preseason game because, you know, you have more reason to look back on, you know, what went wrong. I think the other thing as well is that we were able to pull a goalie and do a bit of 6-on-5, which is always good. Always helps to prepare yourself for what's to come because it's very hard to practice. And the third period was very good. We came up with a bit more jump. We were putting passes together better, like you said, we produced. And in the third, we said to each other, we could tie this up. We were playing well enough to tie it up, and Popper had looked worried that we were going to do so. And they were starting to tire themselves then, and we sort of got the two goals and found ourselves in a bit of second wind, whereas it brought them down. They were down and out. And yeah, towards the end of the third, you're just thinking, although the first two periods of that game weren't great, what a weekend of hockey. We had two fantastic games, you know, as spectacles. They were two very, very good games in terms of drama, skill level, speed. It was everything you could ask for and more, especially from a preseason game or a preseason series.
Massively, and you know, massive credit to Poprad, who, you know, as you said, brought over a full team and you know, really went out there with the intention of playing hard and chasing the win, you know, chasing the win on Saturday. You know, they were defending, you know, they were looking a bit gassed, but they were defending with all their might on the Sunday. And, you know, they massively played their part and, you know, a really important and useful part of pre-season for us. It was a really good weekend and you know, let's think of that sort of the league that maybe we'll look at sort of more often because the Banska Bystrica games 2 years ago, well, 2 years ago, yeah. Where, yeah. Also, you know, really closely contested. I think we managed to get a win in one of those. And they just seem to be the right level for our league where it is at the moment. So,
good enough to compete with, but good enough to push us as well, if that makes sense. It was never going to be, it wasn't like playing Zagreb and getting blown out. We had a chance to win, but we knew we had to work hard to win. And that was the sort of, yeah.
They're not like Tilburg or the French team whose name I can't. What was the French team that we played that home and away game against?
Brest,
that was it. Where, you know, they weren't quite even match competitions. So, you know, it's not cheap to bring teams over to the UK. So, you know, you definitely want to be making sure that we're getting something out of it. And I think, yeah, that weekend definitely showed that we did. So after that, we had, as we said, Tom Parisi had been announced. The home game on Saturday due to be his debut, but again, we're going to come on to it later. We're just going to get preseason out of the way, but didn't play. I'm sure that's not breaking news for anyone.
If it is, where have you been?
You've missed a lot. You've missed an awful lot, guys. I wasn't able to catch either of the games this weekend, strangely, so don't really know how it went, but 5-2 win at home on Saturday, Sean, sort of sums up what you'd expect from a Coventry team, still on at full strength and playing their first game of hockey this year.
Convincing, scrappy, chippy. First sort of 10 minutes, we weren't very good at all. Coventry had a couple of chances. Bouncy made a good save on a breakaway to stop them going two up. They scored on one power play chance that they did have, and we just weren't interested. And then there was 5 minutes left in the period. We cranked it up all the way to gear five, put four past them, and that was pretty much game over.
Was that in a five-minute spell, the four goals?
It wasn't much in it, if that's well. I think we maybe scored one with 10 minutes, but then we did score three goals within a couple of minutes. It was...
So just wrapped the game up quite early.
Yeah, well, you know, we were down 1-0, and then we led 4-1 after the first, and the way that we put the goals together in quick succession, two of the goals, we scored one, then the pass came to Benty on the left wing, I think, and then within about 5-6 seconds, we'd scored again. And I don't think that the previous one was much before that. So, we flexed our offensive muscles for 5 minutes and won the game. It was pretty dull, actually. I was bored after the first period. It was good to see us do that, but you know, games like that, Coventry were short bench. They weren't going to go out there and try and win the game. They were going to try different things, and it was a bit of a waste of time after that.
It was just an exercise in getting legs moving and maybe trying a couple of combinations, and I guess.
Yeah. I did actually contemplate leaving after the first period, which probably wouldn't have been a bad idea given what happened to me over the weekend. So we'll not go too much further in depth to that, but you know.
If anyone's got Sean on Twitter and hasn't seen the photo of his car, that may explain what's happened. I guess two periods then of just almost treading water, just seeing that job. Sunday, Devils travelled up to Coventry. And so the first change in the lineup I think we've had since, you know, in those four games, with Thomas Moody getting his first start in net since the first game in Nottingham, I think, Sean.
Mm-hmm.
So Ben Bams doesn't play away from home at the moment. That's easy. So you know what he'll say, I guess. Did you catch the game, Sean? I should have checked before we started recording, but professional as ever.
I did get the webcast.
You could talk us through the what must have been a most enjoyable game.
Oh yeah, I can tell you everything that happened in that game.
There was a fight.
Redick had a bit of a fight with Morris.
Tried to start fighting every game I've seen so far in preseason.
Yeah, I don't think you're wrong. He also got a 2+10 for instigation as well. So take from that what you will. It was. Back and forth. I don't think that either team led by more than one at any stage. It was very, very back and forth. Murdy didn't have the best of games, I will say. It was a good run out for us. We lost the game 5-4. Fournier, Dixon, Hedden, and Ben Blood getting on the score sheet. Overall, just you know. Going through the motions, we basically had to turn up for that game because it was prearranged, but I didn't really see much benefit for us at that stage. You know, if we could have gotten away with not playing that game, I think we would have, because the home game did enough for us to show that we can, you know, do a bit of flexing our offensive muscles and playing through our systems against teams in our league. With the injuries we have, I think we could have really done without that game. You know, if we'd had a full roster to choose from, yeah, I get it. Or if we got a couple of those bodies back and then rested a few guys, you know, if Langley and Farina had been back in the lineup, Myers, you'd think that they would have played that game and it would have been good to give them a run out. But yeah, that game didn't really serve a purpose, to be quite honest with you.
Yeah, I mean, I guess, playing on a Sunday with this CHL starting on a Thursday, not a 4 weeks rest. Yeah, there's always going to be an element of, you know, resting up and you'll make sure guys aren't going too hard. So, I think it's understandable. And like you said, with the short bench we've had for the whole of pre-season, I'd rather see us lose a game, taking it a little bit easy than winning one going a bit harder. So can't complain about that. Just whilst we're talking about Coventry, just because we don't want to do it again. Following the loss of the last recording we did, it was only the day after we recorded that Kevin Nastiot was announced that he wouldn't be returning.
Didn't we talk about it on the podcast, actually?
Yeah, no, we did. I mean that it was announced like around the time that we recorded the last podcast.
Ah, okay.
And it's now being announced today that Danik Paquette won't be returning due to what Danny Stewart described as unknown at this time personal reasons. And a press release from a team in the LNAH has been released this evening, dated last Wednesday, saying that Paquette has signed for them. So that is what the personal reason was, I guess, that he's had a better offer somewhere else.
In the Quebec League.
Yeah. It's not necessarily a better offer in terms of league, but crazy. It's in Quebec, not Coventry. So I guess that's got something for it. And another big loss for Coventry, though. You know, we discussed their roster quite a little bit last week. I'd said that we thought they'd struggle. And Paquette was one of those guys that you pick out who's going to be a bit of a leader. You know, he was a threat in terms of physicality, threat in terms of his goal scoring as well. So, you know, a loss that is going to be tough to replace, you'd imagine, at this stage of off-season.
Oh, without a doubt. He was one of those players. You look at last year's Coventry roster and who, if someone, not necessarily to say we'd want to sign him, but if three players had signed for the Devils, who would you not be disappointed with? And I think out of those, you know, you've got to look at the ones who have departed. You know, you've got to look at a guy like Kevin Nastiak. If we had lost Bouncy this year and Nastiak had come in, I think that would have been a reasonable signing, to be quite honest with you. That would have been something which I would have been open to. Jordan Petras as a third liner, scores goals, plays good power play, penalty kill. And Danik Paquette, because of the whole package that he offers, I feel like he's a physical presence, goes to the net, scores goals, scored in a lot of games against us last year as well. And yeah, those are three players that I probably wouldn't have been too upset if we'd signed. So the fact that all three of those guys aren't returning is a massive, massive blow to Coventry, particularly at this stage of the season. You know, Nastiak was, as you said, you know, not that long ago. Obviously Paquette now, Petras wasn't that long ago, but I'd imagine they had more anticipation and warning regarding that. But you know, it's hard to get a guy like Paquette at the start of off season. So to find someone now, you know, it's got to be, Coventry are in for a really, really rough ride this year, I think, looking at what's already gone wrong for them in the season. That, you know, they have made some adjustments. They did look a reasonable side on Saturday, although we blew them away in the first. They put a couple of bits and pieces together. They looked a very quick team. But it's so, so hard to, they're already behind where they want to be. They're chasing themselves already because they just have so many issues internally. They can't get guys to come in who've committed, and it's just going to be a really, really hard season for them going forward. And Paquette is someone who would have been a talisman, a captain, a leader for him, and he's elected to not come back. And you just got to wonder what's making guys not want to go back to Coventry at the moment. You know, maybe there is personal reasons for Paquette that he does have to stay closer to home, but at the moment it's not a happy hockey town at the moment.
Does look that way. And you know, in terms of the timing, I think we just need to schedule some more podcasts in quickly and see if we can see off a couple of other Coventry players before the season starts. just do it out of it. So that's enough about departing players from Coventry, because we've got, well, non-arriving players from Coventry. But at least ours arrived. At least Tom Parisi arrived.
Yeah, what a change. Said,
dropped the puck on Sunday. Had a tour around Cardiff. And then I think three training sessions, I think I read in one of the articles.
Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday.
By counting days, I might have worked it out for myself. Who knows? Announced his departure, said that he's Fallen out of love with ice hockey, I think was the words. Was hoping that a change in league, change of scenery would spark things for him, if you like. And after the training sessions, I guess he's felt that that's not the case. Probably one of the most shocking sort of bits of news that have come out about the Devils in a long time, right? You know, it's not unheard of. We've got a list of players that it has happened to. Going back to Super League days, Jason Ruff at the start of the Elite League era. Paul Bissonnette in slightly different circumstances just a couple of years ago as well. Before we come on to the loss of the team, Sean, it was one of those things that when you read it, you almost didn't take it in instantly.
Yeah, well, it was put in, we obviously have a WhatsApp group between us, and someone put Parisi in a sort of a wave in hand, and I was sort of like, you know, what are we trying to say here? As in, Parisi, is he that quick? Are we talking like he's really quick? It's like, you know, what's going on here? And I suddenly just refreshed Twitter, and it was more of a goodbye hand wave. And I was thinking, wow, really? Okay, something's gone wrong. An issue in the locker room or something like that. And you open it up and read that release and you just think, wow. Something which, as you said, it hasn't happened to us for a while. And like you said, Bissonnette with slightly different circumstances.
I think Jason Ruff at the end of the 2003-04 season would have been the last time it happened then.
Probably, yeah. I was a little bit young at the time to remember all that going on. But, it's happened. You know, you hear stories about other players who've not turned up, and then the replacement's been Doug McEwen or, you know, someone else. Very shocking. I was quite shocked and quite upset, actually. I was really, really disappointed.
He was a player that was exciting to sign. It was a guy straight out of the AHL, still in his prime in terms of age, 25, 26. You described everywhere as a quick skater, an offensive skater. You know, it was just that signing that you thought, wow, this is a guy that's gonna light up the league, and you really give us some good legs going into the CHL, where that's, you know, one of the things that we struggled with last year was speed at times. So yeah, just obviously we discussed a player like Parisi last week, last episode. Based on the rumours, a lot of time spent on that we could have just guessed a player, because that's where we are now. Baffling. I think it's going to be such a big loss. And in terms of finding a replacement, I think it's going to be a case now. If we want to sign a similar quality, Sean, do you think it is now that we're going to have to sit and wait for the camps in America to finish and hope someone drops out that we can entice over?
Yeah.
Or would you want to get them in quicker, I guess?
Well, we're not getting anyone in before the CHL. Like, it's not happening. We are playing the CHL campaign short of a top import defenseman. There's no bones about it. We're not getting one. Plain and simple. Unless someone's got a British passport and it becomes available tomorrow, we are not getting one. And even then, it's a stretch, because we don't have time, basically. And so, you know, it breaks my heart to say it, but we might as well not waste our energy bringing the wrong guy in. If we try and sign someone soon because of the fact that we're in the CHL and all this sort of thing, I think that is a waste of time and the wrong move to make. We've always been known as one of those clubs whose coaches like to tie in their references. They like to get hold of people who've played, coached, you know, siblings have played with, who've got contacts within hockey. And it's hard to do that short notice. And you look last year at the team last year wasn't a bad side that we put together by any stretch of the imagination, but it was just not quite right. And the injection of calmness and composure that Tyson Strachan brought in after the CHL was finished, you know, it was early October after when we came back from Vekwa, from memory. And it was, we'd been able to identify a fault in our team, what we needed to restore the balance to it. And I feel like that's what we've got the opportunity to do here. I wish Parisi had stayed. I wish that he'd given it a chance and given us the, basically given us the potential to do something in the CHL. Or given us more of a chance. But we don't have that. And so we need to take advantage of, you know, the make the best out of a bad opportunity, if you will, because now we have that chance to see where we are with our team. We've got the CHL to do it. We've got a couple of weeks before, as you said, the American League camps finish and hope that someone becomes available. You know, there's maybe there was someone in preseason we were talking to who got an AHL deal or got an AHL tryout and didn't come. So, you know, if they then don't make it, are they willing to come back? Are they willing to look at us as a potential option? It's really, really difficult to say. And, you know, no one will ever really know what happened with Tom Parisi. Only he knows. And it's a shame. But like I said, let's make the best out of a very, very bad and upsetting situation.
Yeah. And, you know, in terms of getting something quicker, I think some CHL was written off, in my mind, to get a player in, not writing off CHL. We'll come on to writing that off in a little bit. but by the end of September, we've played, you know, in the league, we'll have played Nottingham twice and Sheffield once. It's, you know, sort of looking at it in that point of view, then two of those three games are away as well. You know, we're probably going to be playing those. All right. We're not going to be playing an import short if everyone's fit, because we would have been an import over with Tom Parisi. So what it does mean is sort of looking at the positive side, what it does mean is that if everyone's fit, we're looking at having an import on our fourth line. Goes without saying for the number of import forwards we've got, there's 10 of them. So you're thinking a guy like Joey Adad or Jake Morissette playing on a fourth line, which would have been unheard of not that long ago. And then Josh Batch slotting into D. And you know, I think one of the highlights of preseason, even before the Tom Parisi news broke, for me was the performances that Josh Batch has put in on D. And you, after a year as a forward, after a disappointing year the year before on defence, I think he's staked a claim to play there more regularly again, Sean.
Yeah, he did. He's been fantastic. Probably my standout of overall players. Not quite the surprise, but the most insistent player of preseason. I think that Bachi has really just settled. I think he just looks at home playing on D. Yeah, I don't think he had a particularly bad year last year playing as forward, but it was new. He sort of had to adapt that role because it was, he sort of had to mold into it because it's something that he hasn't done for a long time. But yeah, he's been fantastic, been calm, cool, composed. Skating's been good. He's been hitting hard, making a good first pass out of the zone. I sound like Andrew Lord because he said it in an interview yesterday, but genuinely, you know, it's what's been happening. I'm not going to disagree with Andrew Lord. So yeah, by all means, ignore me and just go and listen to Andrew Lord's interview about what he said about Josh Batch, because he's right. But no, he's been fantastic. Really impressed with him. Someone said to me on Twitter that at least we've got a Batch who's been in, you know, outstanding form in this, in pre-season. With all due respect to Josh Batch, outstanding in pre-season against HK Poprad and Coventry Blaze. And Nottingham is not quite outstanding in terms of CHL, but, you know, Batch is...
You'd rather have him than not have him. And, you know, that could almost sound quite demeaning. It's not meant that way. But obviously, Josh Batch is not a number one offensive D-man. That's not what he's on the ice to do. And that's what it's almost like...
The balance again.
Someone like Mark Lewis or Ben Blood hadn't turned up or couldn't play. Josh Batch steps in. The balance of D isn't mixed up at all. They're quite similar players. They're the calming influence on lines. Batch can't bring what Parisi would have brought because they're just different players in terms of style and the level that they've played at. But You know, I think that's, in terms of CHL, like, it's going to be such a huge loss that speed in terms of, you know, getting into offense, which is going to be difficult as, you know, the teams we're up against are probably going to be better skating the net on the whole. And we're going to be pinned in a lot. So that a transition game, pretty much, you look at the 60 man now, is going to fall on Fournier. And he's not used to, well, he hasn't been playing the mega minutes for us in the last couple of years because there's been a certain number 24 that's been logging all those minutes instead.
So yeah.
It's a lot to put on him. I think he's more than capable of doing it, but, you know, to do it four times in the space of just over a week, against quality at that level is going to prove to be difficult, I think. When it comes to the league, though, I think Oshbach is an excellent league defenseman. And as I said, 10 import forwards, and hopefully if he's fit, Matthew Myers as well, alongside Craig Moore. There's enough firepower in those forwards that I think losing a couple of goals on defence, I don't think it's going to have as much of an impact on us. So, you know, where you were saying about waiting for signing, I think if we can get through the CHL, then we might as well wait for the right player. And we're going to have to get through it as we are anyway. So, yeah, I think I agree with you on that. But the one thing that you're saying about things on Twitter, a few people saying that hopefully this will be Tyson Strachan coming back. And as great as he is, it's the wrong type of player. It's got to be.
Of course it is. Well, you look at the defenseman, which, like, okay, talking in terms of Fournier. Fournier replaces Hotham, and then Parisi replaces Fournier. You know, and then, so where is our second offensive defenseman? Where is our 1-2 punch from the back end? We don't have it anymore. We've got Fournier. And that's no disrespect to Lewis. I really like Lewis's game offensively, but it's just not naturally. It's not his strength. Yeah, and he's playing with Fournier as well. So, Richardson offensive upside is great, but it's just not his game. We are lacking that punch. We're lacking that second scoring threat from defense, and we don't have it. There's no way we can get it from within our team. And yeah, that is, like you said, I don't think bringing Strachan back would benefit that at all. I just don't know. If we are going to do that, we do need that extra offensive weapon from the back end.
Yeah, agreed. So we've sort of ventured CHL, but just in terms of, Josh Batchview was the standout. The other player that probably caught my eye in, you know, a surprising way rather than being the best player on the ice consistently, I think Tom's Rutkus has been a bit of a revelation this preseason. I know last year he looked good in preseason, but he looks bigger. He looks a bit faster and, you know, has logged some really good ice time, got that goal up in Nottingham, but has put solid shifts in almost every time he's been on the ice, which has been quite frequently as well.
Yeah, he's been playing some special teams, been killing, played a little bit of power play. You look at who you rotate on that fourth line. Joey Martin's played on there a couple of times, and, you know, he's kept up with him, with Martin, and his game just seems to have developed over the summer. We saw him in that pre-season training session, looked good, looked sharp. He just seems to have a bit more confidence and a bit more swag in his game, and I really enjoy watching him this preseason, much like last preseason. I think, you know, last year we looked at his preseason and I wanted to keep him full time because I thought he was excellent. And then when we lost Craig Moore, unfortunately to injury, and Rutkus played with us, he didn't look behind the play. He didn't quite look ready for it, but he wasn't struggling, if you know what I mean. Whereas this time around in preseason, he looks natural. He looks comfortable. He looks like he can push it and keep up with the pace of play. And yeah, I think, as you said, a surprise, and he's knocking on the door to come and play full time. That's what he wants to be doing. And based on preseason, you've got to believe that that's what he deserves to be doing.
Yeah. And it's interesting. Obviously he's on a two way again, which as far as I'm aware, usually means that Swindon will have first dibs on him, if you like. Which is why we ended up having to call him up full-time last year after Moore's injury to, you know, give us the chance to keep hold of him. Even though, unfortunately, he probably didn't get the ice time that he would have wanted. It's that balance of regular ice time and a lot of ice time in the NIHL, which is a big drop down from elite, or, mm-hmm. you know, riding the bench and, you know, getting the odd shift in the elite league. So, you know, striking that balance is difficult because, you know, when you make that step, then it's a big one.
It sounds a bit disrespectful, but he sort of needs to be going to play, you know, third line, second line minutes, maybe a bit of power play time with a team like Manchester.
So I was just going to say, Sheffield, you know, have done it with Milton Keynes. Shudra, yeah. So I think Sheffield have signed him on a 3-year deal. For the first year, he's playing in Milton Keynes in the elite league.
Yeah.
And I think in terms of player development, that's an excellent idea. I really like that and think, you know, if Devils could come to an agreement, you know, like that with, you know, any of the clubs in the elite league. Guildford, you know, Coventry, you wouldn't have seen him in a Coventry shirt necessarily, but, you know, teams that are looking, even teams that are looking at hopefully making the playoffs, you know, so you're very bottom end rather than just mid-table as Manchester and Guildford you'd expect them to be, I think, is still, you know, you're playing at that level anyway. And
it's just, yeah.
Maybe something that the Devils will consider next year. And maybe look how Cole Shooter gets on in Milton Keynes and, you know, make a decision based on that potentially.
Mm.
In terms of the new guys, unfortunately, Langley's not played since we last recorded. But sure, how, you know, out of Steam Dixon, Ben Blood and Mike Hedden, you know, they've all settled well. For you, who's been the standout out of them, which is a little bit unfair this year necessarily, but...
Yeah, it is a bit unfair. They've all sort of settled at different rates. I don't think Hedden's quite there yet. I don't think he's quite settled into the league. Blood last weekend, the Coventry weekend, he looked very composed, looked right at home.
Goal in both games as well.
Yeah, scored a goal in both games, played good, played hard, played gritty. I think that these are the sort of games where, you know, the Nottingham weekend was his first weekend. You didn't really get the adaptation to the league had to be considered. Poprad at the speed of the game probably wasn't quite his game, but Coventry is what he can be expected to play against teams like that week in, week out. And I think that in the games where it's a bit nasty, he was playing very, very high up for a defenseman. He was playing in the corners, winning battles, being physical. Really liked his game. The home game, I was particularly impressed with him. Who should we go to next? Dixon.
Well, you've only got Steve Dixon left, I think, haven't you?
Steven Dixon is my personal pick of... I think he's my favourite new guy so far. Just plays with an edge. Just a good, hard, gritty hockey player. We did talk about it in our last show just after the Nottingham games, but really like him. Has put the puck in the net a good couple of times again. Once against Poprad, I believe he scored against Coventry as well.
Both games against Coventry as well, yeah.
He's putting the puck in the net and playing a good, hard, gritty game, finishing all his hits. I really like his work rate. Really like him. I think he's my personal pick of the new guys. Just a gamer, proper Cardiff Devil.
I was just going to say that, you know, it's a phrase I guess used, but he's that sort of player that you take to easily, if you like. The high work rate, but, you know, backed up with goal scoring and, you know,
all around play as well. Does remind me very much in the sort of mould of player that Tyler Michel did.
Yeah, I think that's, which is probably one of the biggest compliments you can pay a player who've just started for the Devils. You know, there's not many sort of players in that sort of role that's probably thought more highly than Tyler Michel. In the elite league era at least. So excellent. You know, I think all three have settled in, you know, to varying degrees, and you know, I think all three are going to bring a lot this year. I think we've probably seen, in terms of my head, and I think we've seen glimpses rather than consistently what he can do.
Correct.
When we see those glimpses, he looks like he's going to be
the
very
real
good
deal.
He's fully up and running.
Yeah.
sort of reminds me, I think that sort of reminds me a little bit of probably both Ulmer and Benty in their first year, after the Zagreb games and the Banska Bystrica ones, where, and probably Patrick Hastings, was all the same season, and they were all probably trying to get to terms with the, you know, new country, new league. And you could just see bits of them. And, you know, if he turns out as well as, you know, especially the first two of those have done for us, be more than happy.
I think the other thing is, before we move on to that, is they have also been playing with inconsistent lines, probably not where they're going to be playing through the season due to the fact we've had the injuries.
And yeah, like you said, this, you know, pre-season is used to try different lines, but you usually keep the same one for at least a game, if not a weekend, whereas we've probably not made it through a period with the same lines just due to numbers. So, I was going to say that's pre-season done and it was all right in terms of results. But, you know, I being brutally honest, especially under the new ownership, by far and away our worst pre-season as a club, I think. You know, being blighted by injuries, you know, three players have missed two full weekends with Matthew Myers not being able to ice at all. First weekend, we had another couple of players sort of sitting out potentially with niggles.
Joey Martin.
And then, yeah, I think Joey Martin sat. I think Lane Ulmer missed at least one game.
Missed the Nottingham away. We've been missing Justin Farina since the first Nottingham away game. Langley since after the Nottingham weekend. Yeah, since after the first weekend. Just blighted by pre-season niggles and...
Just throw on there a player turning up and going home 3 days later, you know, just to
make it a bit more fun and a bit easier.
You'd imagine like pre-season, you want to get your lines. Andrew Law's probably tearing his hair out that he's not had a chance of doing it, and then that happening as well. I cannot imagine. You know, I would imagine it was quite internal. He's, you know, in terms of interviews and stuff, but you just think like, it's one thing after another and. Yeah, really not ideal prep. And
He's Andrew Lord's awake right now watching the Nottingham home game on video. He hasn't had a chance to watch it yet.
Pardon?
Andrew Lord is at home watching the Nottingham home game on video right now. He hasn't had a chance to do it up till now.
Just with everything
else. He's been so busy.
Yeah. You'll probably be up for the next six till God knows what time most nights. Trying to get onto American time to be tapping up agents and players as well. Not ideal. I think just the probably the most getting thing, is the optimism that was, I don't know how far around it was, but I know you had it. I know I had it that talking about, you know, what results do we need to get out of this group? You know, these games, you know, we got a chance in both at home, I think, and can we pinch a point or two away? And even if all three injured players come back, I think, which, you know, I've no idea how likely that is, you know, given that none of them have iced for at least two weekends, you've got to think it's not the likeliest thing in the world, unfortunately. Tom Parisi as well. I just think even if they all come back and it's... They're not going to have lines settled. They're not going to be up to speed on the system, especially Charles Ringley, who's had in two games. Match fitness as well. And they're match fit for the Elite League and then there's match fit for the CHL. And I do feel a bit deflated by it. Whereas last year, there was no expectation. If we'd have gone in a couple of players light, my expectation would have just been, we'll probably get stuffed by another couple of goals. Whereas, it probably says a lot about how good the recruitment was that you can feel like that so quickly because last season he wasn't there. But I'm assuming you're on the same page there, Sean. You're not going to be the little pick me up at the end.
I'm not. I'm less optimistic than I was, but you know, it's sport. It does crazy things and. That's what makes it so special and so fun. You know, if we, you know, come on, Paul, if we knew if we thought we were in with absolutely zero chance of winning that game on Thursday, would we be going?
Yeah.
Really? If there was, you know, look at
how much chance did you give us before the home festival game?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, well, very little chance, but a chance. Very little chance. Very little chance, but a chance.
Oh, I see. Yeah.
Do you know what I'm saying? And
it's there.
Like, it's not, there. There's always the chance that something can go drastically wrong. And for another team, I fully expect someone to be painting the away changing rooms pink right now, just as Norwich did the Leeds this weekend, to try and throw them off the game.
How did that work out for Norwich?
Not very well. Leeds won 3-0.
maybe not then.
But, you know, it's sport. It's crazy. It's wild. Leicester won a Premier League title, for God's sake. You know, I don't expect us to progress, but I am not writing off by any stretch. Why not?
No, and I think it's potentially me almost doing a disservice to the team that
if we win both of these, if we win both games this week, Paul, if we win both games this week, do you think we have a chance again out of this group?
Well, clearly yes. Especially if we won both games and then Vecchia won both games against the same two teams, you're sitting nice, but. Yeah, you know, it's just the odds of it. I don't know.
No, totally. We're
going to be pumped for watching Devils in Europe. Whatever happens, if we get pumped 8-0 in both games, I'm still going to be watching my team in Salzburg and Bern. And yeah, that's still outstanding. We did it last year, but it's not the stage where I'm bored of the novelty of us being in the Champions League, and I'll be pumped going into the rink on Thursday. I won't be pumped thinking we're going to win, but it'll be, we're here, let's have a bloody good go at this. And I feel like I was massively negative at the start of that, but it should have been slightly less negative because it's still an outstanding thing that we're doing, and you're really looking forward to it.
Of course it is. These are two unbelievable teams. Let's just take a look ahead now and talk about these teams, because they're some of the best teams in Europe. Hence they belong in the Champions League. We talk about like the Champions League and what a big deal it is for us. And these are guys that have been there year in, year out, and they've got that experience. You know, it's something which they're used to. You know, they are used to playing in this competition. Whereas for us, it's still new. You know, we've only ever been to three. You and I have only ever watched us play in three rinks internationally.
Yes, you know? I was thinking, I've definitely done more than that. I've seen us play home in three rinks.
But you know what I mean? We've only ever seen the Devils play three times, in a European competition. And now we get to go to two more places. But then next year, if we qualify, it'll be crazy again, because it'll be another potentially three teams. Whereas Bern played against Salzburg last year. Vecchia played against Salzburg last year through different stages of the CHL, and it's just something that it's perfectly normal for them. But it's crazy for us. Like you said, we get to watch the Devils play in how big was the arena, Paul? Remind me again.
Just over 17,000 in Bern.
17,000 arena in the middle of Switzerland, and we're going to watch the Cardiff Devils play there. It blows my mind. We watched the Devils at the same place that the Spengler Cup has played last year. And this is the highest level that we will ever, ever watch the Devils compete. And it's such a hard competition, but it's such an honour to play in it. And I'm so excited. I am so, so excited.
Yeah, me too now. Subtle that negativity.
Yeah. Well, think about it, Paul. Think about it. In a week's time, you and I will be sat with a beer in Salzburg.
Indeed. I may be asleep by this time in Salzburg, but there we go. I'm not good at mornings.
If I know you as well as I do, you'll still have a beer and you'll be awake.
I think that's probably good odds on that. I was going to make a sensible point then and not talk about beer, but now just thinking about beer in Austria. Now I'm thinking about the price of beer in Austria and my wallet's hurting. We've talked about the troubles that we've had, losing Parisi, injuries. Even if two of the three players are fit and back, this team is better equipped for the CHL than last year's team was, and we won two games in last year's CHL.
Absolutely.
So, you know, there we go. I'm going to be positive, and I'm going to end it there before I spoil it.
You know what they say, Paul? Yeah. Why not us?
Why not? Well, yeah, why not us? Sod it. On that very positive note, we're going. We'll be back after all four CHL games. Won't have time to record anything in between the home and away ones. If we were to win them all, we might record something in a foreign country, because hell, why not? But until then, that is your Red Army Roundup. Devil inside, every single one.